on stewardship. The basic training for Christian faith. Stewardship. And I want us to turn to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. And I'm going to ask you to hold your finger there. And I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, as I come before your throne this morning, Lord, I come humbled in my spirit, thanking you once again for an opportunity to be a mouthpiece for your people this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that as the praises go up, that your blessings come down. Yes, Father, I thank you for each person that's standing before you. I thank you for their families that are not here today, Lord. I ask that you bless each and every one of them, Lord, where they are, Lord. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that every heart is open this morning and ready to receive the word of God from you this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we may grow from what you're teaching us this morning. Now, Father, have your way with service this morning, Lord. And we're just so grateful to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you got your Bibles, let's confess the word. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am. What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer. Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better.
After having heard. The word of faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And I want to talk to us this morning out of the book of Malachi. And I'm going to pose the question, which is the title of the message today. Where's my honor? And as we look at stewardship, we're looking at taking care of the property of another that was entrusted to our care.
Amen.
Where's my honor? Now, Malachi's message today, it's direct and it's to the point.
Amen.
See, and I like Malachi because he's one of those prophets. He don't mind getting like right here.
Amen.
He don't mind getting in your face. And the whole theme in Malachi, in the four chapters of Malachi is to take God seriously.
Amen.
See, Malachi, he doesn't mix words. In fact, this message, it's a burden to Malachi. It's weighing on him. And he wants to tell God's people, Israel, and by connection, God's people today, the church, to take God seriously.
Amen.
We're going to be good stewards of God. And the good stewards of the thing that God has entrusted to us,
Amen.
We got to take God seriously.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. For many people, and unfortunately even Christians, God is like a spare tire. We want him around in case something goes flat. God bless you. When life goes flat, we want to know that he's there, at least in the trunk. So we can whip them out and keep on going until we get whatever punctured our life fixed. Then we put them back in the trunk again until life goes flat again. Then we pull them out again. So it's not that we don't recognize that we need God. Mm-hmm. It's just we want to keep God in His place.
Mercy.
See, Malachi he's speaking to God's people who are in the church. They're in worship. Mm-hmm. They're in a worship service. But God wants to speak through Malachi to tell the people how He feels about their worship. Now, today's message is not one of those feel-good messages. This ain't going to make you jump and shout and get excited and all that. And in fact, it might just tick you off.
Amen.
But that's the spirit of the passage that we're going to look at today.
Amen.
It's the burden of Malachi. And Malachi isn't a book that you go to when you're trying to get pumped up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to make you feel better. In fact, Malachi just might make you feel worse.
Mercy.
So when I'm done today, and you want to throw something at somebody, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi.
Mm.
Directed at him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Malachi, God speaks to Malachi here in Malachi chapter 1, verse number 6. And he says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Where's my worship? Says the Lord of hosts." Get this. "To you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" He says, you folks despise me. And you're in church. He says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where's my honor?" In fact, it's worse than that. "You despise me," he says. "You don't think much of me." And what you despise, he says, is my name. And God speaks several times in this passage about his name. In verse 11, he says, "From the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the nations. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Verse number 14, he says, "For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." And God is not just talking about just using the word God here, because his name reflects his person. In his position. So we're not just talking about the name God here. We're talking about what the name represents.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure you told somebody at some point in your life, "Don't call me outside my name."
Mm. Yeah.
In other words, you wanted the respect that comes to your, you know, that comes to your person. Amen? Because they're not honoring your name. See, when I say Queen Elizabeth, I'm talking about a specific person who holds a specific position.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Amen.
She holds the Queen of England.
Amen.
Amen. So when I say Queen Elizabeth, you understand that those are not just words.
Amen.
There's power in that name.
Yes. Got it.
Why? Because that name represents a person who holds a position. And when God says, "You despise my name," he says, "You don't recognize the uniqueness of my person."
Mm.
Or the uniqueness of my position. even though you go to church. Because this is a worship service. You're not holding my name at the level that my name represents, God is saying. Because he says my name is to be what? Feared among the nations. Now, what does it mean, my name is to be feared? The word fear means to take God seriously. As opposed to taking God casually. To fear God means to take him seriously. We got, now, all of us in this room have electricity in our houses, right? Someone let their bill cut off.
Yeah.
Right? And we benefit from the electricity. Mm-hmm. You get to turn on your hair dryer and your curling iron and have that on all night long like somebody I know did. And it's good. Electricity is good. And life would be so much more difficult if we didn't have electricity, right? We need it and we enjoy it, but you can't play with it. You can't go sticking in screwdriver and in the sockets.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, that's not how you use that name. Am I right about it? Because while that name is a blessing, used improperly, it can hurt you.
That's right. That's
right.
Right?
Not because electricity is trying to be mean, but it needs to be respected.
That's right.
Because if you play with it,
yes, come
the
on.
Thing that's designed to help you,
yes,
and benefit you and serve you and support you could fry you. Not because it wants to fry you. It's just that when it's not handled right, it'll fry you. To fear God is to take his name, his person, his position seriously and not casually. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. God wants to be our friend. Mm-hmm. Right? But being your friend, he does not want to be your God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
See, most of us in this room have children. And I hope you are your child's friend. Kind of. Right? In other words, to a point. But I hope you don't erase the line between parent and kid.
Amen. That's right.
Am I right about it?
Yes.
See, we got a lot of parents who are too buddy-buddy with their children. Mm-hmm. And you know that you're too buddy-buddy with your children because they no longer respect your position. They think that there are more than two parents in this house, and they're one of them. You know, I had my grandson all week long. He was trying to tell me what to do all week long, and then every now and then I had to remind him, "Boy, I'm the pappy,
round here."
He was trying to tell me what to do all week, and then he had the nerve. You know what he said to me the other day? He said, "Unlock the door, genius." We tried to get out the car, and the door was locked. And he, a backseat driver, he talked about, "Unlock the door, genius." Boy, I said, "Your parents can't get home quicker. Too soon." But every now and then, you got to put them in their place.
Yes.
I said, hey, this is Grandpa. Now, you're not trying to be mean, right?
That's right.
You're just trying to remind them of their place.
That's right.
I mean, yes, let's be friends to a point. But not to the point where you lose your healthy fear and reverence of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is where you stop taking me seriously. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to remind them, as Malachi is reminding the people of God here, "You call me Father," he says, "but where's my honor?"
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's good.
But there's no honor. There's no respect. He's saying that is, you're not recognizing my name for who I am in the position that I hold.
That's good.
Because he said, I'm a great king. Right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. Verse 14, I'm not just some running buddy.
That's right.
And he's not. And you know what? He's talking to folks in church. So they have a question at the end of verse number 6. Watch this. Go to Malachi 1, verse number 6 at the end. He says, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? So let me translate that for you. I don't know what you're talking about, Mom.
Mercy.
I don't know what you're talking about, Daddy. I'm in church, aren't I? I mean, you ever have, you know, kids and somebody play dumb on you? You know, you're complaining and they say, I don't know what you're talking about, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about, Daddy. They said, in what way have we despised your name? I don't get it. We here. We're at church. We're worshiping. I don't get we despise your name. So he wants, so what God is going to do, he's going to help brother out then.
Yes.
Look at verse number 7. He says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we despised you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil?
Wow.
And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. They say, what do you mean we despise you? We're in church. We know they're in church because they're involved in sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're making an offering.
Right.
How we despise your name. God says, I'll tell you how you despise my... I'll tell you how, because you've given me your leftovers.
Mercy.
Amen.
Mercy.
You're not giving me your best.
Come on now.
You're giving me stuff you can't use. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Amen.
You're bringing me a lamb who can't see.
Wow.
Lamb who can't walk. You're giving me the junk that you don't use. He said, that's despising my name. You don't have to curse me out to despise me, God says. All you need to do to tell me you don't think much of me is to give me your leftovers.
Mercy.
But if you get a phone call from somebody important and they say they're coming over for dinner, you're going to tell your friend, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so is coming over my house. Oprah coming over. She coming over for dinner. You're all excited, telling everybody in the hood. And they say, well, what are you going to feed her? And you say, well, I got some leftover chicken and yams from last week. I think I got enough leftovers to feed Oprah. They'll say, man, you just plumb crazy. I mean, guess who's coming to dinner? You don't serve leftovers to Oprah. Or the first family, for that matter. Come on, somebody. The president calls. He don't feed leftovers to the president. Because of his person.
Right.
Right? In his position. It's because of his name. See, his name represents the person and position. The president is the most powerful man in the world, politically. Okay? And you don't give that great of a name, leftovers.
Amen. Amen.
God says, you have despised my name because you give me your junk. Stuff you can't use. Lame. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You give me your lame stuff. He says in the middle of verse number 8, he says, offer it to your governor. You won't give it to him. Right? Watch this. He says, but you'll give it to your God. Now, you may not, you know, get this the first time you read it. So I let me tell you about the governor. They're in Persia here, okay? And they're overseen by the Persian government, who's the enemy of Israel, and they're holding them incarcerated in a foreign land. He says, you wouldn't give it to your enemy governors, your leftovers, but you will offer it to your God, who you say is your God. So you give your enemy something good, and you give your God something left over.
Mercy.
He says, and you tell me you don't despise me? And you give me what's left over? So, what are some of the leftover things we give God? Leftover time? When all my shows go off. When all my tape programs are finished. We give them leftover commitment. But my schedule has nothing left on it. God, if I got something left and I'm not too sleepy, I'll find a minute for you. I don't have anything to do today. My leftovers. Why don't I find some time for God? God says, I'm a great king. You know, the president calls, he wants to see you. It won't be leftover time that you give him.
Clear schedule.
Because of his name. He says, God says, you despise me. I get your leftover time.
Mercy.
If you have any. I get your leftover service. Watch this. He says, you throw something together when it comes to doing something for me. But when you want folks to do something for you want it done right.
That's right.
When it comes to me, you just throw it out there. I mean, it's like, you know, you go to a restaurant. Anybody ever have a bad waiter or waitress? They come to your table. They throw your menu on the table. You ask them what the special was. They said, well, you didn't see it when you came by. You want some water too? I mean, what's up? But I mean, and then at the end, they want a tip. Verse number 9 says, but now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us, while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And they want a tip. Everybody I know wants to be blessed. See God's favor. See God's grace after we've thrown him leftovers.
Mercy.
I'm going to give you leftovers. Here it is. Saturday night, 50% chance of rain. Then you on the phone. I'm not going to be able to make it into church tomorrow. I just have my hair done. Come on, somebody. You know how much money I spent on my hair? I ain't going to church. But of course, if you got your hair done on Sunday night, and you had to be at work on Monday morning, you worked that thing out. Umbrella, wig, something you'll put on it. And you know why? Because you're giving to your governor. Because he's got your money.
Right.
So you work it out. You say, I'm going to show up, get to the parking lot, get me a parking space. You know, as long as I get there just in time for the sermon, I don't have to worry about all that worship stuff in between. I know God said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't want to deal with that parking stuff in the parking lot. But never mind that you got to get up and go to work, do the rush hour. Come on. Which means that you got to calculate enough time to deal with the fact that you might get stuck in traffic, and if it's school time, you might even get stuck behind one of the school buses. Yes. So what do? You make an adjustment on the front end.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave a little early today because I may run into some traffic, and I want to be to work on time. Never mind that you don't have to be to worship, to give God the praise that's due His name.
Yes.
He says, I'm a great king. But you give it to your governor. You give that worship to your boss. But when it comes to me, I get your leftovers. I get your leftover money. After you've done all for you. Come on. Come on. You're looking to me to help you. You're looking to me to bless you. You're looking to me to give you a raise and to pay your bills. You're looking for me to get you out of debt. And all I get from you, God says, is your leftovers. Well, suppose you go to work.
Mercy.
This week. Payday's coming up. Friday come around. And your boss comes and says, Tina, here's $10. That's all we had left.
It's all.
I can just see it now. Pull off them earrings, come out of them stilettos, put the Vaseline on. You would go plumb off. Because you weren't there all week for $10. You're worth more than that. Am I right? You're worth a bit more than $10. Amen?
Amen.
So when it comes to our giving to God, we give Him our leftovers.
Mercy.
Here, Lord, I got $5 left. It's left over.
Mercy. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why God calls giving in the Bible first fruits. Because He wants to know that He's first and not left over. You hear what I'm saying? He says, you don't have to say you despise me to despise me. All you got to do is just give me your junk.
That's good.
What you got left, watch this, while at the same time asking me to bless you and be favorable to me. Be gracious to me, Lord. He says in verse 9 again, but now entreat God's favor, that He may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will He accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?
Mercy.
Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands.
Mercy.
He says, do you know my name? I'm not just a leftover God. So why am I getting your leftover worship? Why am I getting your leftover praise, your leftover adoration, your leftover time, your leftover service, your leftover giving? I just get your leftover, he says. You don't know my name. But you're asking me to bless you. And you don't want leftover blessing. But this, you want to see, God says you want to see exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think.
Yes.
But you keep giving me your leftovers.
Come on now.
Your boss says you need to be in work 15 minutes early from this point on. Your job depends on it. You'll get there 20 minutes early. He says, but I can't get 5 minutes from you.
Mercy.
He said, that's because you despise my name. He says, you actually hate my name.
That's good.
See, and this is more than just coming to church.
Yeah, it is.
He's talking about an attitude.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying? The attitude that attitude showed up everywhere. God was an addendum. An extra. Something if I can get around to it. But first, the most important, a priority?
Wow.
No way. Malachi is saying he wants you to be, if you're going to be a good steward, take God seriously. When you stand before God and sing a song, you're not singing to your neighbor. You're not singing to your friends. You're not singing to the choir. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yes.
Now, I can't sing a lick, but you know what? I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Amen.
God says, I want to hear you sing. I want to hear you pray to me. Because it's supposed to be about me. That's supposed to be why we come.
Yeah.
Right? How come I can't hear you then? We come to worship God, not have God worship us.
Yes.
We come to make Him feel good. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Yes, we feel good when we worship in the Spirit, but that's a side benefit. That's not why we come. We come to worship God. And God told the priest to tell the people to take worship seriously. And he says, and when you do that, saints, when we take worship seriously, when we become serious good stewards of God, we will see His glory.
Yes, we will.
We will see. I mean, how you want to see His glory? Let me show you. Go to Exodus chapter 24. Let me show you this. This is powerful right here. Exodus 24. Let me show you this. Let me know when you get there. Exodus 24.
Amen.
He says, when you take God seriously, you will see His glory. Everybody there? Exodus 24?
Amen.
Verse number 9. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heaven in its clarity. Come on now. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hands. So they saw God. And they did, and they ate and drank. Now, I like that. I like that right there. Because see, Neil, when they got their worship straight, they saw God.
Yeah.
When they got their worship straight, they saw God. Instead of being consumed by His awesome presence, they had a feast, it says. And this is what it takes to see God. See, our problem is that we have a bunch of people looking for God who don't want to worship.
Yes.
We have a bunch of people saying, Lord, I didn't see you last week, but did you worship last week? Lord, I didn't feel you today, but did you worship today?
Amen.
Moses and his companions, they saw God when they worshiped.
Yes.
Some people are too polite to worship. Too self-conscious to go down on their knees. Come on, somebody. Too reserved to call on Him in song. And others are too busy to worship, too tied up with their job or with the television. They just can't get around to worship.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. If you can't get around to worship, then don't be surprised if you don't see God.
Watch out.
Don't be surprised if you don't see His hand moving in answers to your prayer. Don't be surprised if you don't see the power of His hand working in your life.
Mm.
If you don't have time or the desire to worship God, don't be surprised if God stays invisible to you.
Wow.
Mm. Yes.
But when Moses and the others saints, when they got together and they worshiped, mm-hmm. they saw God. Yes. Did we just read that? They saw God when they got their worship straight. They saw God. They didn't see just a hazy old outline of something They were not. I mean, we're not even sure what form God appeared to them in, but they saw God, and it says over a pavement of sapphire.
Mm.
Yes. Oh my God. Mm. It was like. It was like a noonday sky shining bright.
Yeah.
They saw God. In other words, they saw God in his splendor. Mm-hmm. They saw the glory of God.
Yeah.
So I'm asking us if we're going to be good stewards of God. And we want to see the glory of God. Then we must learn to worship him. If we want to see his glory continuously, then we got to commit ourselves to a continuous lifestyle of worship. Yeah. See, you don't just worship on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to worship all week.
Amen.
Yes.
All day. Mm-hmm. Spend time in worship. See, listen, every now and then won't do it.
That's good.
Once a week, one service a week won't get you there. It won't get you the glory that these men saw.
Yes.
But when you make your life a worship, when you present your body, somebody read it earlier, when you present your body, Romans 12:1 says, mm-hmm. as a living sacrifice,
yes.
holy and acceptable to God, mm-hmm. then you'll see God.
Yes.
When worship is your commitment, then God, he will illuminate himself to you. And worship is key, because it's the only thing you can give someone who doesn't need anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, think about it. What do you give a person who has everything?
Yes.
Well, people always come up, you know, with some kind of gift, because in reality, nobody on earth has everything.
Yes.
But God does.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Psalm 24 says that. Says the earth is the Lord's.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And all it contains, the world and those who what? Dwell in it. Yes. He has everything. God owns it all. He needs nothing. So you can give him what he really wants, saints.
Yes.
And that's your worship.
Hallelujah.
He wants you to worship him and take him serious. Mm. God wants to hear you say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his
yes.
praise shall continuously be in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So are you ready to worship God?
Amen.
And take God serious?
Yes.
I mean, if you are, stand on your feet and give God the praise and the worship that he deserves. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Give him the praise. Let him hear you say, Lord, I will bless you at all times. And your praise, Lord, will continuously be in my mouth. Worship him, saints. That's what God wants. He wants your worship. He wants us to take his worship seriously as opposed to casually. I mean, we walk in church so casually today and sit down, and we refuse to worship God. Like, we sit like this and say, Lord, bless me. I dare you, Lord, to bless me. Don't you try to bless me.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name.
God says,
yes, 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 yes.
Take me seriously.
Yes.
Jesus, you're worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father, as we come to you this morning,